We're glad you're here this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us in person and online. We still have a lot of people worshiping with us online, so we're grateful you're here at Grace Point Church Online and worshiping with us. We have our television here last few weeks. This allows our online audience to stay with us on the scriptures and the takeaways. They can't see the screens when they're watching online, so it's been a good tool to keep them engaged here with us as we worship in person and also online. And thankful that you're here, Ryder. Congratulations, man. You brought in the crowd. I tell you what, that is impressive. Come back next week, everybody. But we're glad you're here, especially those of you visiting with us today. And we're glad that you chose to worship with us here at Grace Point Church. So let me just share a couple things with you, and then I'll jump into the message. We're going verse by verse through the book of Colossians. We're at Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And we'll finish kind of what I started last week, a message that I started on the preeminence of Jesus. And we'll finish that today in just a few moments. But before we get there, let me just make a few announcements and make sure, keep you in the loop of things. First of all, last week was a great week. We're taking steps, obviously, towards regathering and getting everybody back on campus. We're still in the process of that. Last week, we took another step, a big step, and we had, for the first time since March, our in-person on-campus preschool children's ministry. Our preschool children's ministry opened last week to regather. So this is the second week. So I'm thankful for Julie Richardson, Wendy Roscoe, Christy Dorman, who put that together and organized that. It flowed well these last week, and I know today, and they're doing everything they can for the safety of the kids, but and just want to continue to be able to provide a safe atmosphere and also teaching of the Word of God. And so thank you so much for them, for you as parents, patience, as we kind of walk through some new waters right now and have a new system as you check kids in over there. So thank you for your faithfulness there. Also, Emily Henson, who leads our Kids Zone Academy, our preschool ministry during the week. They had their second week this past week, and things went well. She has a great staff, and Emily does an amazing job as leading that ministry. So they've had two good weeks. They also have a new process and protocol in place that they follow, but things have gone well. So thankful for their leadership and for you as a church as you continue to pray, as we continue to regather and people come back on campus. So we continue to pray towards that. So thankful that you're here this morning and worshiping with us. Let's pray together before we jump into the Word, okay? Before we begin teaching the Word. Will you just pray with me here this morning? Father, we're grateful for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for this time where we come together to worship you corporately, the singing of your praises to you and the preaching and the teaching of your Word. We know that you are the one, Father, that transforms lives, that changes people. You are our focus today as we've been singing praises, as we've been worshiping you, and now as we come to the teaching of your Word, I pray our hearts will be open to hear you and that you, God, will draw people to you. You are the one, Father, that transforms. And so I pray you do that this morning through the teaching of your Word. Thank you for these that have gathered today, those that are watching online and worshiping with us. May you teach us today, God, what it means to make Jesus preeminent in all things. So we are grateful. Bless this time and this teaching. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. I want to start reading in verse 15 through 18. And we started a few weeks ago in verse 15. And here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul starts telling us about who Jesus is. As I shared with you before, remember the context, there were some false teachers coming in, and they were not denying Jesus, they were dethroning him. They were saying, yeah, well, we hear about Jesus, but he's not everything that Paul says. And so they were started to get some traction, and they were starting to question. And so Paul writes this letter to them, to the Colossians, to bring some clarity to what's going on. And he starts first with, who is Jesus? Who do you say he is? So he clearly defines it. This is like foundational for us as Christians, that we understand, we know who he is. So we started in verse 15 a few weeks ago. Let me just read through verse 18, then we'll swing back and talk about how these things apply to our life. Verse 15, first of all, says this: he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, he's talking about Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Nothing exists for itself. That verse is very clear. You were created by God and you were created for God. And to live, as we talked about, for Isaiah 43, the glory of God. And when you start seeing life that way, it really shifts your perspective. And I said a few weeks ago, it's not about you. It's not about me. This right here says it's about God. We were created through him and for him. Created for God, and that we find the greatest joy in life when we live for the purpose for which we were created. Here it is right here. Not for things of God, but for God. Verse 17, and he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. We talked about that. And he is the head of the body, the church. We've talked about that. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now, those two statements are examples of what he's about to say, which is that in everything he might be preeminent. So he's firstborn among the dead. The resurrection speaks to his preeminence. He is the beginning. That speaks also to his preeminence. So we learned from verse 15 and following these last few weeks, we learned Jesus is, number one, he is God. Number two, he is creator. Number three, he is the main thing. Number four, he is sustainer. Number five, he's the head of the church. And last week, take one, number six, if you're taking notes, he is preeminent. He is preeminent. Now, last week I said, I broke this message up in two parts. Last week we talked about why, and this week we're talking about the how. That he in everything, he might be preeminent. Everybody in this room this morning, every single person in this room and watching with us online, someone or something has first place in your life. That's what preeminent means. Protos is the word. It means to hold first place, to be first in rank or influence, to hold the chief place. Everybody in here, including me, in this room, somebody or someone is preeminent in your life. Paul's saying here that we need to make Jesus preeminent in our life, first and foremost, and then in our marriage and in our business and in our relationships. He says in everything. It's sweeping language as you study this section of Scripture. All things, everything, all things. You see that over and over and over again. So last week, we answered the why question. Why should I make him preeminent in my life? And I gave you three reasons. There are many more, but three reasons why we must make him preeminent in our life. Number one, because the Bible teaches it. Now, we could just close up shop and go home after that, I said to you last week. That's why. That's good enough. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That might. But then I give you two more. The second is because it's the pathway to happiness, this side of heaven, fulfilling the purpose which we created, making Christ preeminent in our life. And then third, I said to you, because the third reason to make him preeminent is because everything or anything else makes a lousy Savior. You know, sometimes we expect people to do what only God can do. And we make people preeminent in our lives. It's not that people shouldn't be important, relationships are important. This is all about preeminence. First, protos. First, talk about the how in our lives. So today, as we broke this off, the why last week, today we talk about the how. Okay, I'm buying. I understand. The Bible teaches it. It's a pathway to happiness. Anything else makes a lousy Savior. But how do I do that? And that's what we always want to get to. So this is the application of God's word. We always want to get to the application, whether you're here on a Sunday morning listening to me teach, or whether you are in a Bible study group, a Sunday school class, whether you're listening to a teacher on the radio or TV, or whether you're having your own quiet time with God. You always want to get to the application. You always want to ask the question, what is God telling me to do in response to this truth? What is God telling me to do in response to this truth? It's not just about knowledge. It's not just about you coming and hearing me preach and teach and you gaining knowledge. That's good. We are supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. We are supposed to do that. But it doesn't stop there. That knowledge needs to move into my life to impact the way I walk, the action, my life. That's the application. That's the deepest level of teaching. It's the deepest level of teaching is when we take the word of God and we ask that question, what is God telling me to do in response to this truth? And so through his word, he begins to teach us. That's a way, obviously, that we make him preeminent in our lives is obedience to his word. Now, let me show you something before we jump into how we do it. I want to go to John 14, John chapter 14. I'm going to start reading in verse 25 through 27. All right, the importance of the scriptures and how God speaks to us and how obedience to him is another way we make him preeminent in our life. So verse 25 says this, these things I've spoken to you, Jesus speaking to you while I am still with you. Verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit. So stop right there. Let's remember that term, the helper, what is it presupposes we need help, which we do. That's why he's sending the Holy Spirit, because we cannot in our own strength on our best day cannot do what God calls us to do. We'll fail. We need a helper. Presupposes, implies, we need help. But the helper, and it is the Holy Spirit, to whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring, now watch this, catch this part right here, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That line right there. Bring to your remembrance all Jesus says that I've said to you. He's talking about the scriptures, right? Bring to your remembrance. So the Holy Spirit brings the scriptures to your mind. And I think I would connect it with the next verse. Peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give to you. Okay, I think that's the way. I don't have time to build that up, but that's the way you're going to experience the peace of God. Through the word of God, what the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. So I'm driving to work. Let's say you're driving to a job interview and you're nervous, or you can, whatever it may be, getting ready to play a game or whatever it may be, and you're driving there and you're nervous and you're anxious. And so to calm myself down, I remember the scriptures. And as I began, and God and the Holy Spirit brings to my mind the scriptures, my heart literally starts to calm down and my breathing gets slower and I'm starting to experience. But listen, here's what I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit cannot bring to mind what you do not already know. Now we could say, well, the Holy Spirit can do anything. He can. But you understand what I'm saying? He says, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will bring to help you remember the scriptures. If you don't know them, that's not going to happen. That's why it's so important that we know the word of God. So if you're facing temptation and you're resisting, James 4, resist temptation, and he'll flee from you. Talk about Satan. You can flee from him, but you have to resist him. How do you resist? Well, the main way you're going to resist through the word of God. How are you going to resist through the word of God if you don't know the word of God? How's the Holy Spirit going to bring the word of God to your mind if you don't know the word of God? He says, what you remember. You can't remember what you don't already know. we just want to fight as hard as we can on our own strength and try to do this. And then we can't. Why? Because he sent a helper. Why did he send a helper? Because we need help. So it's a recognition of the preeminence of Jesus. One way that happens, and one way to do that, I haven't even got to the outline yet. One way that happens is through the word of God, right? Word of God, knowledge of the word of God, and then applying the truth of the word of God to our lives. So you're going to see this flow here in this message, and then I'll speed it up in a sec. In this message and through the scriptures I'm going to show you, we're going to see the command, we're going to see application, We're going to see blessing from it. That's how this is going to flow, right? It all starts with us making Christ preeminent, which means then we bow to him and his word and we obey him. So that's where it begins, this understanding of the importance of God's word for us to then make Jesus preeminent. It's a way that we make Jesus preeminent by reading the word, knowing the word, and the word of God through the Holy Spirit speaking to us so we can walk in obedience. So how? There's three ways I think we do this. There are more, but just to kind of get us started and understand, I think there's three things we must do to make Jesus preeminent in our lives. Number one, here's the first one. We must speak of him often. Talking about Jesus. Speak of him often. I'm going to give you the other two because I never even made it to those two in the third service, or the first two services. So I'm going to give them now. Speak of him often, be with him daily, worship him weekly. It's easy outline to remember. Those three things. All right, it all starts with the takeaway, number one, which is to make Jesus preeminent in your life. How do we do that? And I'll give you these three things. Speak of him often, be with him daily, worship him weekly. So let me just kind of dwell on this one, and then we'll just touch on the last two before we go. Speak of him often. All right, Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 through 23 says this. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Okay, he's getting ready to talk to parents, or to kids, but he's talking to parents first. And really what parents should do with their children. But notice he says it starts with us. And you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Okay, that's deep. Now you're going to lay them, the only way you're laying them up is if you know them. Place them there. Put them there. And you shall, now watch what he, and talking about the commands of God, it all points to Jesus. We've talked about this in the scriptures. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You get that? That would be in everything part. That would be the all things. Like it's not just here. This is good. But it doesn't stop here. We make him preeminent here, but the idea is outside of here too. How does that happen? And here the scriptures are telling us we should be consistently speaking of him often. Verse 20, and shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And here's the result now. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied and the land the Lord swore to your fathers to give them as long as the heavens are above the earth. Now watch this. Here we go again. Application. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, here's the action, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him. Those are preeminent statements right there. You're making him preeminent by doing these things. Walking in all his ways, preeminent in all things, and holding fast to him, and loving the Lord your God. These are preeminent actions and statements, preeminence of Christ. Okay, when you do all these things, then verse 23, then the promise for them, and the same thing I think for us, I mean, I'm not a name it, claim it, I'm just saying that as we walk in obedience, he blesses, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will possess nations greater and mightier than you. So you'll be able to do things that you can't do in your own strength, right? Greater and mightier than you because of God, what God can do. But see, our part is to make him preeminent, Jesus preeminent. That happens when, like right here, speak of him often. Speak of him often. I had a friend of mine who, very successful business guy, but strong in the Lord, and lives out his faith. And we were talking on the phone a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this very issue, the supremacy of Christ in everyday life. And that's such a challenge. You know, Sunday, yeah, but what about weekdays? And he was talking about his business and how, you know, what he does to try to bring the supremacy of Christ into his business and to his work life. And he was telling me about a day where he said, man, right outside our office that we built, we got this nice pond. It's a beautiful pond. And I had him put benches out there, and there's these trees, and it's really a peaceful place. I go out there all the time just to kind of clear my head. And he said, I was out there one day at lunchtime. I took my Bible with me. Nobody else was out there. It was quiet, cool, temperature. I had my Bible. And he said, man, I just had this amazing time with God. I read the scriptures. I prayed. I was refreshed. I was renewed. He said, man, I'll tell you what, I think I worshiped out there. And he said, and then, man, as soon as I walked back to the building, and as soon as those doors slid open, and I stepped in there, the noise level was up here. Two people were calling my name. My secretary said, there's somebody waiting on you in the office. You got to return these two emails. You got to make this call. You got this board meeting tonight. He said, we got conflict with this situation. You need to call and do that. And there's all this pressure that I just live with daily. But he said this. He said, and then I just thought, man, can I just turn around and go back to my quiet place where I was with Jesus? And then he said, it hit me. It hit me that in the middle of this kind of chaos and sometimes mess is where I live. This is life, and this is where most people live. And he said, if the supremacy of Jesus doesn't land on us here in the mess of everyday life, then we are completely missing it. That we have got to find the preeminence of Christ in everyday life, not just here. It's good. It's here. We need to do it. We need to come together corporately and proclaim that. But when we go out the doors and you go home and you go to work and all that is where we also need to declare and see the preeminence of Jesus. It's mainly going to happen, I think, through the scriptures. And also circumstantially. You understand that when God wants to develop character qualities in you, he puts you in a situation that is exactly opposite of the character quality he wants to develop. So in other words, if you pray for patience, I'm not even recommending that. But if you feel led, and if you pray for patience, he's not going to put you in a situation just sitting on the couch and all is well, the kids are acting perfect, no stress at the job, I can really. You know what he's going to do? He's going to put, I'll tell you what he does to me. He puts me in a long line. And he says, let's see how that patience things work for the pastor. If he wants to teach you peace, he's not going to put you on a beach to teach you that, right? Now, it's easy to find peace on the beach. He's going to put you in a situation that's a little chaotic to teach you his peace. And it's going to come, John 14, as the Holy Spirit reminds you of the truth of God's word to calm your heart and mind when your anxiety starts to overtake you. Speak of him often. So here's what we need to understand. When we talk about the gospel a lot, and I talk a lot about the gospel, but we need to understand that the gospel is past, present, and future. A lot of times people think of gospel, they think of past, which is true. Let me just show you Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Now that's circled in my Bible, power of God, because you're going to see that play down in the last part of this, verse 17. For it is the power of God for salvation. Okay, let's stop there. There's gospel power past, if you will. Talking about salvation, power of God for salvation. So I experienced the power of the gospel and the salvation in my life when I was saved. So that's gospel power past, if you will. Okay, so if you are saved, you know Jesus is Lord and Savior, then you experience this. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So you experience, when you were saved, God, the Holy Spirit of God drew you to him. You experience the power of God to draw you into salvation. That's gospel past. Now, you see gospel present. This is where we miss it many times. We miss out on the gospel present. And that's what he says in verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written. The righteous shall live by faith. That is gospel present. It's connected to the power of God in verse 16. I'm afraid we forget about that. The power of God for us to live by faith. And I think it starts by making Jesus preeminent in our lives unto salvation, which we talked about last week, but then every day as we, this way, speak of him often. So here's what it comes down to. Our lives are not polished and shiny and set up on a mantle that's perfect. Just not, man. They're cluttered and complicated. We get tired. We get frustrated. We get hurt. But here's what we need to settle in on. The preeminence of Jesus cannot just be out there as something we just experience on Sundays. It needs to be something that we bring into our everyday lives. The preeminence of Jesus that we bring home every day. And I would say one of the ways we do that is to speak of him often. I mean, just think, just rhetorical, don't answer it, just think about it. How many times this past week, and I'm not trying to rebuke or anything, I just want you to evaluate, because I do the same thing. God rebukes me and speaks to me first in the scriptures, and so much, this is just how he's teaching me, and then I share with you is let me ask you this question. How many times this last week, let's just say, as a believer of Christ, how many times did you speak of Jesus? How often did that happen? See, I would argue that if something is preeminent in our lives, we will speak often about it because it has that importance, that place, that priority in our lives. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. There it is again, speak of it often. But you shall meditate on it day and night. Okay, again, the knowledge of the word of God. And here's the application, ready? So that you may be careful to do according to all that that is written in it. All right? Obedience. Now look at the result. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I said to you in here, how many of you in here, how many people in here want to be prosperous and have had good success in life? There's not anybody in here to go, no, I don't think so. Well, here it is. Here it is. He then says, have I not commanded you? So haven't I told you this before? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, verse 9 is going to happen when you go back up to verse 8 and do what verse 8 says. What does it say? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Okay. And then, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. Then you're going to experience the last part of verse 9. Be strong. You'll be strong. You'll be courageous. You won't be frightened. It all starts with choosing to speak of him often. Now, let me give you these last two, okay? And I'll just touch on these, and then we'll pray together. Be with him daily. This is huge. I think we have to have that discipline of time with God daily. Mark 1:35 and 36, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Talking about Jesus, right? So let me ask you another rhetorical question, just as if you were sitting in my office across the desk from me, and I ask you this question. On a scale from 1 to 10, how is your walk with Jesus? 10 being not perfect, but 10 being, man, it's really great. And 1 being, yeah, it's just not happening right now. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. I'm just saying that is such an important question. You can't just pass over that. It all starts with that. And that, because that, well, the reason that's so important is because that speaks to preeminence, really. Because at the end of the day, whether we like it or not, as God reminded me, we make time for the things that are most important to us. Bottom line. We all make time for the things that are most, we'll make time for the things that are really important to us. So being with him daily, on a practical level, we can discern from the kind of the longings of our heart, if you will, what is really supreme. The language of supremacy, if you will, the language of supremacy sounds like this. I really need this. I can barely survive without it. I have to have this. it's constantly before me every day, drives my motivation. We know at that point we're dealing with the language of supremacy, whatever that is. We all have it. Something that is preeminent in our lives. Something that is supreme. Paul says Jesus must be preeminent in our lives. And then last is worship him weekly. Now, certainly we show because in our life, but I'm talking about corporate worship. I think that's a way we show his preeminence, not the only way, and it's but it's a way as we come together like you're doing today, right, to show the preeminence of Christ in your life. Revelation chapter 4, verse 7, and he said with a loud voice, "For fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." That goes back to Colossians 1, Creator. Worshiping him. Hebrews 10 speaks much about the importance of gathering together. You see worship all the way through from Genesis 4, Cain and Abel and Noah, all the way to Revelation, which I just read, the last book where much of Revelation is a vision of heavenly worship. So clearly, worship is important. It's a way that we show Jesus is preeminent in our lives. I want to finish with this. Our time has caught us, and this is I just want to read this, and then I'll pray together. This is from a book that I have that I use for many times for my devotional. It's called Every Moment Holy, and it's really good, just kind of soul-searching stuff that I read through and that God kind of speaks to me about. So I just want to share with you a portion, and then we'll pray together. It says this, this particular reading, "O children of the living God, what is your Father's greatest desire for you this day? What is your Father's greatest desire for you this day?" And then the answer, "That we should love our eternal King with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength." And how would you show this love? By remembering him at all times. By cultivating thankfulness for his many blessings, trusting his good providence for the meeting of our needs, by loving all whose lives intersect our lives, by choosing to serve rather than to be served, by bearing patiently with the failings of others, extending the same kindness, mercy, and grace and compassion that God in Christ has so graciously offered us. We would also love him by serving with faithfulness and passion in our various vocations, by delighting in all things he has created for our benefit and pleasure, and by caring well for all he has given us to steward. O children of the living God, you would do well to practice your love in these ways today. Now remember him in all places. Remember him at all times. Remember his grace and his love. Remember his comfort and his mercy. Remember his beauty and his wonder. And remember his instruction and his holiness. He is here. He is with you every single day. Let's pray together. Let's pray. So, Father, we're thankful for your word, God, that is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We are thankful. And I pray through the teaching of your word today, God, I pray again that you will draw us to you, that we will see you in an even more beautiful way. Yes, there's great blessing by making you preeminent. We first and foremost do that out of our hearts and desire to worship you, out of gratitude for you and all that you've done, for Jesus and for salvation in him. We are grateful. Thank you for your presence here among us in this place today as we've worshiped you, and may we continue to worship you even as we leave this place today throughout this week. May we every moment, make you preeminent. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Let me say, Grace Point Church Online, thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Let me invite you to come back next Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. And I'm praying that you have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday morning. All right, Grace Point Church, let's stand together. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Let me pray for you that the Lord would bless you as you go today. And Father, thank you for this time that you've given us together to turn our hearts again to you and to your word. And I pray you teach us, God, beyond this hour, teach us the preeminence of Jesus in everything we do. Every moment is holy. May we see it that way. We live for you. Thank you for our time of worship. I pray your blessing on these people as they go today, Father. And we look forward to gathering again next Sunday morning. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday morning, Grace Point Church. Have a good week.